Today, the president of Turkey is saying that one of the Brussels attackers was detained at the Turkey-Syria border in June and deported back to Europe. Turkey also says it told Belgian authorities that the man was a foreign fighter, but Belgium could not establish any links with terrorism. Now, we'll be sure to tug at this thread as we continue to follow this story.
But let's turn now to domestic politics and a speech today by Republican Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan. He spoke to House interns on Capitol Hill and addressed the state of American politics, and he said a party must win voters with the best ideas, not with intimidation.
Instead of playing to your anxieties, we can appeal to your aspirations. Instead of playing the identity politics of our base versus their base, we unite people around ideas and principles. And instead of being timid, we go bold. We don't just resort to scaring you. We dare to inspire you.
Ryan also talked about the possibilities of what he called a confident America. And his speech comes the same day that former Florida Governor Jeb Bush endorsed Senator Ted Cruz for president, part of a growing momentum in the Republican establishment to coalesce around opposition to Donald Trump's presidential bid. Well, joining us now with more is NPR senior Washington editor and correspondent Ron Elving. Hi there, Ron.
Hi, Meghna. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's first talk about Speaker Ryan's speech today. It seemed interesting and even at times very introspective. What did you make of it?
It was an extraordinary speech in its timeliness and in the difference of its tone from that of the presidential race. Paul Ryan did not throw any shade at the presidential aspirants, not one bit, and he refused to do so when invited to do so by some of his audience, which consisted of interns serving in the House, most of them Republican. He did not directly criticize Donald Trump, but as could be heard in that cut that you just played, implicitly he was setting himself apart from the divisiveness and from the anxiety-inducing elements of this presidential campaign.
You know, I'm wondering whether or not, in a way, in this, at least for this moment, Ryan is serving as the conscience of the GOP establishment, because he talked about how he himself hasn't lived up to his own ideals. And he went back and he said, you know, several years ago when he talked about makers versus takers, that was not a good way to talk about Americans.
I'm glad you picked up on that, Meghna. It was almost, at some points, a mea culpa, a kind of confessional speech. He talked about his Catholicism. He talked about his personal faith. He talked about his own journey to try to reconcile politics with his faith. And he did refer specifically to that makers and takers phrase. And he also talked about criminal justice and how he had come to see those issues quite differently in very recent years through his listening campaigns and going around and talking to communities of people of color and communities of people in inner cities and so on. It was a highly unusual speech for this particular moment in Republican politics.
Do you believe it may make any difference in the moment that we're in vis-a-vis the presidential election?
Not immediately, but there is that possibility that at the convention or after the convention, there will be a wider conversation about what the Republican Party is and wants to stand for, and there will be a search for champions other than the people who ran for president. And some of that talk might very well center on Paul Ryan.
So
he is, after all, Speaker of the House.
Indeed.
Which puts him third in line to the presidency even now.
And we should note that he didn't address any calls for him to put his name in the ring for president. But Ron, in the last couple seconds that we have, I mean, let's just talk frankly about, let's say, the delegate math, because Donald Trump did win in Arizona in the primary yesterday, but lost very convincingly in Utah. What is the current state of the race?
Donald Trump is ahead by about 250 delegates, and he is more than 50% of the way to having the 1,237 he needs to be nominated. If he continues to win the way he did in Arizona, in some of the other states that are primaries coming up, he will be nominated on the first ballot. But if he continues to have the kind of problems he ran into with the Mormon community, which clearly rejected him, leaving him third place in Utah with only less than 15% of the vote. So if he continues to run into that kind of a roadblock in some of the states up ahead, then he might fall short on the first ballot. We could have an open convention.
NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, thanks.
Thank you, Meghna.